Hebrews over near the end of the New Testament, chapter 2. I've always believed that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews for many reasons, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, no need to look over there unless you want to jot that down. Peter talks about Paul writing a letter to the Jews. And then Hebrews 10:34, you can start reading in there, and it just sounds so much like the Apostle Paul. He's talking about his bonds. Read it for yourself. And then Hebrews 13:23 talks about Timothy, his brother Timothy. And I realize there may be some technical things that folks have said over the years, and I think it's a non-issue. But I just feel like the Apostle Paul is the writer, a remarkable man that God used to write a quarter of the New Testament. And I believe he also was used of the Lord to write this brief book. But Hebrews chapter 2, I'm thankful that God ultimately wrote this, right? He used human instrument. But in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, he starts talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, in these very few minutes that I have, I'm going to try to stick everything in here in about 10 minutes, 12 minutes before the turkey takes effect. But I'm just asking you tonight to be thankful for Jesus. And, you know, I appreciate the testimonies tonight. Those were so great. Sometimes we've had testimony times, and nothing wrong with it. People have been thankful for their houses. They've been thankful for their cars. They've been thankful for their food. They've been thankful for their money, that their money said, you know, I just rejoice that tonight the testimonies were not about material things. But tonight, I would love for us to just let it run through our minds, and you'll have to do it. I mean, no one can do this for you, but allow your heart to dwell on Jesus Christ and what God did in Jesus Christ, and set aside the box. You know, we gave our child, I've used the illustration before, first child there. I can't remember which Christmas it was. It was early. And gave a little toy set with all kind of parts, and we were so excited for him to open that up. And we tried to get him to play with all the toys that were in there, and he wouldn't play with those. He played with the box most of the day. He just enjoyed playing with the box. But it was a spiritual lesson there, wasn't it? Because that's what we spend most of our time playing with. The Lord gives us wonderful things, and we end up focusing on the box. But in Hebrews chapter 2, if you would cut through all of those things, and tonight let your heart rejoice in Jesus Christ and what God did in His Son. Let me read just a few verses, chapter 2, verse 8, that says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all in subjection under Him. But let nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." So that's where we're headed. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Unfortunately, some, it will be way too late. It will be eternally too late. They'll be separated from God. They did not make that choice while they were on this earth, and it will be too late. But in our lives, those that know Jesus Christ, we have said, "Lord, You are King of kings and Lord of lords." We've bowed before Him and received Him as our Lord and Savior. It says in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." He tasted death for you. Tonight when He died on the cross, He died for you. There had been no one else. He died for you, and He tasted death for every human being that would ever live, past, present, and yet future, those still being born over at Buford Memorial and over at Coastal over there here tonight. It says in verse 10, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren." And the Bible says here in verses 14 and 15, what He's done for us. He has delivered us from our greatest enemies. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So what a wonderful Savior that He is. And let me mention just a few issues that I'd love for you to pass through your mind tonight. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. And that is the marvelous sovereign rule of our Savior Jesus Christ over all things, all events and all things that happen in this world. And let me read it. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. What a blessing tonight that He rules over all. And when I realized that, suddenly life absolutely changed. Everything that is happening for the purpose of doing what the Lord says here in verse 8. It says, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But that's a big conjunction there. But now we see not yet all things put under Him. And so everything that happens is happening to bring that about, to bring every knee to bow and to confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord is the Lord of lords. And even more than that, it's to do it now in this life. So before eternity, before it's too late. And so the difficult things and the painful things that happen in our lives, there's some folks who gave brief testimonies, and we lived through it with them. We lived through the surgeries. We lived through the upheaval and the problems in their lives. We prayed for them. And now, you know, we're able to contain it in a 10 or 15 second testimony on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. But those difficult things, those painful things, and even those illogical things. You know, there are some things that happen and I just can't explain it. I can't tell you, well, I can see exactly how God is using this to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. I can tell you exactly how He is showing His rule. And I can't explain it. Of course, there's a story many, many years ago of a lady serving in the Congo, and a number of missionaries got caught up in a terrible civil war. It seems like in that area of the world, there's a civil war every year, and they got caught up in it. Some horrible and terrible things we don't want to discuss happened to those missionaries. They survived, but for the rest of their life, they were scarred by what had happened. And as that lady was trying to put in perspective what happened to her, she said, it's as though the Lord said to her, can you trust me in even the things that you don't understand? And tonight, even the illogical things. I mean, sometimes I can say, okay, Lord, I've got 20/20 vision. I can look back and I can see it now. You let this happen and this didn't happen because you were bringing this about. But there's some in your lifetime you'll never be able to explain that way. But you commit to Him. And we're able to because He is a good ruler and He is a just ruler and His purpose is right. That's to bring every knee to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. How many things happen to bring about our salvation? How many things happen to bring about our sanctification, to make us like the Lord Jesus? How many times does God use things to call us to serve us and so that we'll spread the message of the gospel? And so His rule tonight, I'm so glad He's ruling because it makes sense of a world that makes no sense. And I have that answer. And praise the Lord, I hope that if you don't have that answer tonight, that you'll get that answer to understand His wonderful rule. The Bible describes His millennial kingdom in quite a bit of detail. In fact, if you'd hold your place there in Hebrews and go over to Psalm 72, that's the middle book in the Bible. It's hard not to find it. It's the longest one there in the Bible. Psalm 72 and verse number 7 describes a few things about the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that we're waiting any moment for the rapture, for God to come back for His church. And just like people were waiting and kind of lost sight of things in His first entrance into this world as He came and was born in Bethlehem, we have a world that's lost sight of His return, but He is soon returning. We believe we live in the last days. Following that, there is a seven-year period of horrible tribulation on this earth. God is not holding back His anger anymore. God is angry, the Bible says, at the sinner every day. But he reaches out in mercy and grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. But following that tribulation period, Jesus is going to come back, a second coming, where He literally comes to the earth. He's going to set up a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Where do you get that? Well, it's in the Bible. It's in Revelation. Several times in the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks of that millennial, that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will it be like? Psalm 72 and verse 7. In His days, that's speaking of this time, the millennial kingdom, the righteous flourish. An abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. What a thought. There's going to be a time of tremendous righteousness and peace. And righteousness means doing what is right. And it seems to have a little twist to it. It has to do with doing right by others, by people, human beings, others. And so it's going to be a time where people do right. And because they do right, the world will be filled with peace. You want to fill your world with peace tonight? Let Him rule over you. Live right. Do right by others. And watch peace in your relationships. Watch peace with folks at church and with neighbors and co-workers. But I'm thankful for the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else is going to happen. The book of Revelation describes there at the beginning of that 1,000-year reign that God is going to send the scroniest, littlest angel that He has and take the devil for what he's worth and chain him and then cast him into a bottomless pit where apparently he will continue to fall until the Lord is ready to yank him back up at the end of that 1,000-year reign and release him for a very brief period of time before God judges him and casts the whole crowd that follows him into the lake of fire. But Satan will be bound. Many a time I found myself praying in a service. Maybe you've even heard it here at Victory. Oh God, please bind the old devil off of this place. How we want the devil not to steal the seed of the Word of God in this place. How we don't want him to distract or take away people's train of thought and ability to hear the Word of God. But when Jesus reigns, Satan is bound. And so tonight, I can experience personally in my life, in my family, here in this church, in any service we choose, at any time we want to, as we choose to allow Jesus Christ to rule and reign over us, the devil is bound. He's bound. What a joy that is. I am thankful for Jesus Christ and the ability to bind the devil off of the services, off of the things that touch my life. We could go on and on. Praise the Lord. The authority of God is respected. The Holy Spirit's ministry, which is going to be different than the day of grace. It's going to be different than the church age. In fact, Peter was preaching about it on the day of Pentecost, and he quoted from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And in there, God pours His Holy Spirit out of law on the planet. It's an amazing thing that the Bible speaks of time of truth and justice and equity. Hey, be thankful. Be thankful for the rule of Jesus Christ. And recognize it and accept it and enjoy Jesus ruling over you. Down in verse 9, chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible speaks about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It says in verse 9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. I cannot imagine what it is like for God who spoke and created out of nothing all that we see on this planet, stars, moon, the earth, all of those things. I cannot imagine what it is like for God to come to earth and take the body of an infant. I cannot imagine that, to be cared for by Mary and Joseph. I'm thankful. It must have been very strange in their household. They never had to correct him. If Jesus told on that the brothers and sisters there in the family, they always knew He was telling the truth. So if Jesus said, no, they did that, then you knew, they knew that He did that or they did that. And I can't imagine what it is like for God to briefly set aside the prerogatives of His deity and to take a human form, a human body, and to live among men on this sinful earth. We can't even begin to understand that. But I'm so thankful he did that he, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And so he came to this earth and was made sin. He took my sin on himself. Shameful. You know, you just pass over it that you have a lustful thought, or that you twist the truth because you don't want to be embarrassed, you want to protect yourself, or you want to be prideful and promote yourself, and yet Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered for all of those things. He took that sin upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I'm thankful that Jesus sacrificed himself. He took all of the wrath of God that should have been poured out on every human being, and he took it upon himself, and he died there on that cross, offered his life a sacrifice for my sin, and that I take so lightly. Be thankful that Jesus paid for that sin. Otherwise, the wages of sin is death. Death meaning eternal separation from God in a place called hell, which eventually be cast into the lake of fire. Be thankful tonight. Clear the turkey, the dressing, the pumpkin pie for a moment, and let your heart just be overwhelmed in the gracious mercy of God to send his son to do what he did. And let your heart be thankful for the Savior and his sacrifice on the cross. I'm thankful for his sanctifying ministry. In fact, it speaks in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. And so I rejoice in the sanctifying ministry of Jesus Christ. My Savior is busy making me like him. He mastered the temptation of Satan. He met the temptation of Satan, which came at three levels, and he met every one of them with the Word of God, and he is making me like that. So that when Satan comes and uses his opportune moments to try to tempt me and destroy me, that I have the Word of God, I can resist the devil as Jesus did, and I can have victory. The only way that could happen is through Jesus Christ, God's Son. He also has helped me to understand. Jesus said that his meat was to do the will of the Father, and he has helped me not to want to do my sinful will, but to do the will of the Father and find that joy and that peace. He's given us salvation. It says in verse 15, salvation from our greatest enemies. One is the devil and the other is death. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And why did he do that? Well, let me read here. It says, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. What a joy that tonight, as we sit here in Beaufort, again trying to work through the fog of turkey and dressing and stuffing and all those things, that my Savior is there at the right hand of the Father. And he lives to make intercession for us. Why, as Satan comes and hurls the insults before the throne of God, lying about man, sometimes telling the truth about man, that's your child. And look at the sin that they did today, and hurls that in the face of God. I am thankful there is a merciful high priest there, my Savior, who says, that's already under the blood. My blood has paid for that sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. All sin, by the way, we need to get that straight, by the way. All sin is paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus died on that cross, all sin, past, present, future, it's all paid for. But to be saved, I needed to claim that blood, didn't I? I needed to come and bring my sin before the Lord. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. I had to desire that wonderful gift and ask God for that gift and believe on Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and I received it. And daily, my sins are under that blood as I sin, but I need to claim that. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I need to call and ask for that. But when I do, there is a merciful high priest. We sang a song tonight, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Do you know the story behind the writer? If you look down there, you see Mr. Robinson's name. He was the writer, a very gifted poet, and a very godly man who pastored and then got away from the Lord. Might want to be thankful for Jesus Christ. You know, there are folks that are not here tonight who were here a year, you know, they were here a year ago. There are folks that are that 2 years ago were here. There are folks that have moved off that were active here, and they're not active in their next duty station. And listen, this is a tough world. And Mr. Robinson got away from the Lord, and he wasn't living right, and he happened to be with a lady who was reading some poetry. She apparently began to read it out loud. And she began to ask him about actually she knew it was a hymn, about this hymn, what he thought of it. And he just tried to ignore her, but it was his hymn. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. He had written it. He wrote that hymn. And eventually he had to confess and say, listen, I'm not what I was when I wrote that hymn, but I do think and believe in the things that are in that hymn. Later, he would come back to the Lord and get his life straightened out and go on to serve the Lord. I'm thankful that tonight that those that get away from the Lord and don't live for Him, they make terrible choices, poor choices, that we have a Savior who, when they do come, He welcomes them back. And I'm thankful for His wonderful intercession. The Bible says in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. What a joy that ministry. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Hey, be thankful for Jesus Christ. Do not take for granted our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His sovereign rule. Rejoice in that rule. And hey, get a little taste of that millennial kingdom right now. Enjoy truth and peace and righteousness. Be thankful for that sacrifice on the cross that we can't even begin to understand the cost that it was to our Savior. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That the worst of the torture of the cross was not the physical torture of nails in His hands or a crown of thorns on His head, but it was taking upon Himself lying, blasphemy, cheating, taking it upon Himself and God pouring His wrath on His own Son, so much so that He couldn't even watch the Father put a little veil of darkness so that His Son, as He died there on the cross, and Jesus took our sins and paid for them. Praise God for the sanctifying ministry, the power that Jesus gives. And praise the Lord for His ability to save us from our worst enemies, the devil and death. And then be thankful that He ever liveth to make intercession for us tonight. Be thankful for Him. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things be put under Him. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We love in every service. Not long ago, somebody made fun of that here, you know. Not everybody appreciates this place, and they made fun of having an invitation in every service. And I thought, why would somebody do that? I had to answer them and explain why we do it. We did that by email. But tonight you're here, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, that you could leave this place thankful for the Savior. Some have stood and testified tonight of God's wonderful saving grace to them, God's incredible providence that brought them to salvation in Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you're in this place and you look in your heart and you don't know if you died where you would go, where you would spend eternity, I plead with you to come and let me help you tonight. You're only a few steps any place in the building. And if you'll come, I'll be glad to get you with a person who more privately will take the Bible, answer your questions. It won't take long. It's a simple plan. It's called a simple plan of salvation. Handful of verses in the Bible that describe it. A little bit of explanation, and then opportunity for you to ask some questions, and then to help you tonight to call out to Jesus and receive Him as your personal Savior. Would you let me help you tonight? Please come. Perhaps God has arranged this wonderful night just for the purpose of bringing conviction to your heart. He wants you to bow your knee now before it's too late. Would you do it tonight? Come and meet me here and let me help you. You may be here and you're a believer, and perhaps like Mr. Robertson there, who, wonderful poet, gifted man, who'd served God as a pastor, and yet his heart grew cold. Perhaps you find your heart growing cold and distant. There's so much in this world that allures and draws us away. It's so easy to get out of the habit of being at God's house and being faithful. And yet tonight, oh, listen, why don't you come? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Any sin that we could ever commit, past and present and yet future, have been already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But just as salvation, as we come and we accepted and took advantage of this wonderful gift, tonight we need to come and confess. We need to agree with God about the things that have separated us from Him and take care of those things. Why not leave this place with a spirit of thanksgiving unlike you've had in your heart in a long time? We use these front pews and these front steps, and the more they're used, the greater joy we have in our hearts. Won't you come tonight? Father, thank you for every person that is here tonight. And Lord, what a blessing to be able to fellowship around those tables out in the activity center. And Lord, the time we had before and during and here in the service, these wonderful testimonies. But now we come down to decision time. Life's about choices. There's no way around it. We have to make choices. And tonight, Lord, there's a man or woman, a teen or a boy or girl here without Jesus Christ. I pray that tonight would be the night they'd make the right choice. Have courage. Put one foot in front of another. Meet me here at the front. Let me discreetly introduce them to somebody who's more than willing and ready to take your word and show them carefully what the Bible teaches about salvation, and to help them answer their questions and to guide them. How shall they hear without a preacher? And so, Lord, help us tonight to have the joy of helping those that may be here without Christ in this service. Help them to make the right choice. And then, Lord, as Christians, how can we expect those that don't know Jesus if, Lord, we have cold hearts and we're distant from you tonight? And help us to take advantage, be thankful tonight for a Savior that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Help us to step out for Christ right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.